welcome to this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning, or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Good morning. It's really great to see you here this morning. My name's David, and about 2.5 years ago, my wife, Bea, and I moved to Glasgow. Some of you might have just moved to Glasgow, just arrived here. You might be working your way around the city, figuring out where that mysterious south side is or how you get there, what goes on down there. You might be visiting, or you might have been here for 1 or 2 or 40 more years than that. But I suspect either just this morning or in the last week or two, you've probably met someone new. And I don't know about you, but when I meet someone new, I tend to ask them their name, usually a good start. Maybe where they're from, and often the question, what do you do? What do you do? Don't know if you do that as well. Subconsciously or consciously, we start categorizing people by what they do. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, but it's often how we identify ourselves, isn't it? Maybe it's just me. But if you are in a job you don't particularly like, or don't enjoy, you maybe think it's not very interesting, you maybe shy away from people asking you what you do, or you try and avoid the question. Or if you're not in paid employment at the moment, you maybe feel like it devalues you at some time, if you're anything like me, when I've been in that situation. But are we defined by what we do? Is that all there is to us? Is what we do who we are? We're going to think this morning just for a few minutes to consider who God says we are, how we can define ourselves and know our identity, what that might mean for our lives, both individually and as a family, a church family together. So turn with me in your Bible, if you've got one, or look on the screen behind me. We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 2. About 3/4 of the way through your Bible, if you've got one. And Peter here has just begun his letter to a group of the first Christians, actually probably the whole church, the whole early church. And he's writing to them as foreigners, as pilgrims in a foreign land, who are trying to figure out what following Jesus and being church means for them. 1 Peter chapter 2, start at verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Amen. Amen. We are not defined primarily by our position, by our job, by our title. Peter reminds us here that we are God's special possession. We're not an afterthought. We are his special possession. We are radically loved by God. And we can really call that and say that that is our primary identity. There's an author called Brennan Manning, and he writes this: define yourself as one radically loved by God. This is your true self. Every other identity is an illusion. Radically loved by God. And we're made for more as well. I wonder if in your everyday life, do you create space? Do you encourage others and look for opportunities to be all that God has created you to be? It's easy just to try and get through the day and do what your title is or what your position says you should do. To run instead with the dreams and visions that God has given you and call them out in others as well. We're made for more, and we're also made for connection. It's not just the name of this Sunday, but we really get to live this God-given purpose, this identity in him, with each other, in community, together as a family. And we're loved first, before any of that, before what we do, before the people round about us. We are loved by the living, sovereign, death-defying, closer-than-you-think God of all the universe. And we're not defined by what we do, but sometimes what we do, I don't mean to diminish what we do, because it's often so separate to the life of church, isn't it? I'm sure in this very room there's people who run businesses, who are consultant doctors, or who are academics, or lawyers, or people who are graphic designers, or teachers. And yet, often, and this is no disrespect to you, but we can all sit here, none of those gifts and talents are used on a Sunday. How might we be the family of God together, using what we have, not defining ourselves by what we do, but allowing the things God has given us to be together and serve his purposes together? So in this setting, I've said it before, I'll say it again, in this setting on a Sunday morning, as brilliant as it is, there will never be opportunities for all, however many of you, for all of us to use our gifts to serve God and to serve each other. There just won't be. It's just practical. We'd be here all day or all week. And as nice as that would be, I'd quite like to get home for my dinner, thanks very much. So how can we set ourselves up then to use the things that God has given us, God has made us passionate about, to serve him, to live for him, and to serve this family that we call church? We need more opportunities, as Peter says, to declare his praises. Or in another translation, we are God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. The church is the people of God, not just a building, not just a gathering. So wherever we go, wherever we interact with people, we go as the people of God. This is significant. This is really important. Don't hear that this isn't. But we are the people of God on his mission to this world. And one way we found helpful in this church of expressing our different gifts and serving each other and loving the people in the world is through something called missional communities. They're a thing. They're not the end. They're not the only thing. But we found them really helpful. We long to be a people who are present in the world where we live and work and spend our time, and also who proclaim the gospel. Present, being with people, actually knowing people. I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase, if you've been around church, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. It's often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but he didn't actually say that, as far as I can work out. The gospel is good news. News requires sharing and telling. Sure, it requires showing with the whole of our lives. It requires authenticity, but it requires us to actually tell people that Jesus is alive, that he loves them and he cares about them and has a plan for their life. The gospel is the good news that we are all invited to the great divine party. The good news about Jesus. We're not here, each of us, because we somehow impressed God with our credentials or what we've done or our pedigree because our family grew up Christians. We're here because God has opened his kingdom to us, to you and me, in our daftness, in our sin, in our messing up all the time, and in our humble acceptance of him as Savior. So we need to be people who are present. We need to actually know people's lives, to care about them, to know their struggles and share the gospel, actually verbally tell them in a way which is relevant to their life. What would good news look like, I wonder, to your neighbors, to your family, to your friends, to the local cafe owner or shop owner who's having a tough time and who you spend time in their shop or their cafe? It's not just about inviting people to church, hoping the pastor says something profound. No offense, Stephen, you're wonderful. But it depends on us actually knowing people, actually caring about them and loving them and sharing Jesus with them in a contextualized, sensitive way. And so we have missional communities around the city. It's the most helpful way we've found at the moment. They are communities which are passionate about mission, and there are a bunch of missionaries who are passionate about community. They really, really love each other and care for each other and seek to know God better together. And they also really love people outside the church and want to share him with those around them. These communities, they exist for a purpose much greater than just themselves. They don't exist just to gain knowledge or just to feel good about themselves, just to pray for each other. Good things. But they exist primarily to share the good news of Jesus, to be present with people, to demonstrate his love, and also to tell people that he loves them. So part of this morning is going around some tables and meeting some real people, not just reading information, but chatting to people, hearing their story about what their missional community gets up to, being encouraged, hopefully, and maybe getting involved with one of them, trying it out. Don't go along to one and feel like you have to stay there forever. No one will be offended if you try out their missional community and decide it's not quite for you. That's okay. And if there's not one that you think is for you, then I would love to chat to you about what it might look like to begin to start one, to gather some people around you, and maybe it's a particular passion of yours or a group of people or an area of the city. Let's have a conversation about that. Where has God broken your heart for? What people group, what area of the city, what needs that you see, and it breaks your heart as it does God's? So we are more than just a position. We're made for more, we're made for connection, and we are the body of Christ. It's how the Bible often defines church, that we need each other, that one part isn't more important than the other. If the body was just a mouth, it wouldn't get anywhere very quickly. Do a lot of good talking, but it would, I don't know, not move very far without the feet and without the hands. You can extend the metaphor too far, but there we go. And so as we go together out of here into the city as missional communities, we also want to serve each other really well and look after this family, not just go for it and get stuck in and do lots of stuff, but actually recognize we're people too. We have needs and we need support. And so together, as a bigger group, we can help disciple our kids better. We can pray for each other in a safe space. We can be more creative than if there were just one or two of us. And we can, as we do that, serve each other with the different things God has given us to do. And if all of us here today, all of us here today really do have things to bring, things to offer. It's not just a nice thing to say to make you feel better. We are worse off as a community if each one of you don't contribute in some way. And don't hear me saying you have to sign up to something, because if you feel like that, then I'm sorry. I don't mean that. But we want to learn from each other. We want to gain insight to different areas of life. In another passage in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing this time, and he talks about just a really short couple of verses, some of the gifts that he's given the church. And here's what he says they're for. Verse 12 of Ephesians 4, therefore, or to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It is so important, vital even, for the health of the church that each person contributes, that each person is valued and given opportunity and permission to express their God-given gifts. And that word in those verses, equip, is translated here, equip, can also mean, in the original text, all of these things. It can mean perfect or mend, perfectly joined together, put in order, strengthen ethically, complete, fulfill, heal. That sounds like something I want to be part of, to make my contribution to how I can mend or heal or perfect this community. Not driving my agenda, but just being true and honest to who God has made me to be and serving people here as best I can. And for some of us, we'll have been in church a long time, and we're probably part of maybe two or three different teams. We're at different things during the week. And maybe for you this morning, you just need to hear that you're not defined by that. That your purpose is, sure, it might be helped served through that, but your purpose is not doing stuff at church. It's not doing lots of church activities. So what if you just committed to one team? And I say that hesitantly because the rest of the teams might feel it if you leave them. But what has God put on your heart? Where do you see the need? And where is your passion for serving his people? Ironically, this morning I was just reading through what I was going to say, and my wife Bea was getting everything ready. We have a 2-year-old son as well, and he was, he's not a morning person all the time, so he was having a bit of a fuss about his breakfast. We all have those moments. But he decided that he would throw a pretty much full bowl of cereal onto the floor. So there was milk everywhere, cereal everywhere. Bea was trying to get stuff ready. And the irony is, I wasn't present to my family because I was focusing on church activity. It's a silly example. You'll probably be glad I read through it and didn't just stand up here and say nonsense. But are we more caught up with the activities of church life? Or are we being present to the people we love, the people we long to see transformed by the good news of Jesus? What do they see when they look at us as a church family? Do they see people changed by the good news of Jesus? Or do they see people who are much busier than them and actually don't have much time to spend with them at all? Stephen spoke a couple of weeks ago about that in the first of our series in John 1. Is church on a Sunday just another club that we come to? It's kind of a take it or leave it. Go to this or go to something else. How are we being present and how are we proclaiming the good news of Jesus? The Bible talks a lot about how Jesus says we will be known as his followers. Over 50 times, in fact, it mentions the words one another. But what about one another? Well, just after Jesus washes his disciples' pretty dirty, sweaty, tired feet, he says this in John 13, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, God wants a church, I think, that is defined by their love for one another. By their love for one another. A church where everyone is expressing their gifts, and everyone is doing it not out of a sense of duty or because someone asked them nicely, but because they have a genuine heart to see people become who they were made to be, and they serve in any way they can to make that a reality. And we can do some of that in here, for sure. We can love each other well in here, in this space. But I think most of that, and certainly the hardest part of that, happens when we go home, Monday to Saturday, in our homes, on the bus, at the school gates when your kids are having a tantrum, when you're struggling with finances, when a relative suddenly dies, or we don't quite not know what to do in a situation, or we've just had a really tough day at work. How do the people of God love you, and how do you love others in those situations? Because Jesus says that's how we'll know, that's how the world will know that we are his disciples. And smaller communities, missional communities, are a place where we can be known. This space is great for meeting lots of people, but it's easy to get lost in a crowd. Even if you're the most outgoing of people, you're never going to speak to everyone here. And it's great that we can gather all together. And as well, these smaller communities are a place where you can be loved and known on a day-to-day level. People can know your struggles, and we can each have a place to really express everything that God has given to us. And missional communities, they're just a vehicle. I've probably said that before. They are a way that we can serve the vision of this church. We'll keep doing them as long as they're helpful. But they're not the vision. Jesus is the vision. Being like Jesus, being with him and doing what he did around this city. We long to be a people who join God in the renewal of all things, to join him, to not go off and do our own thing, but to see where he is already at work and join him with that, to see the lives and the things around the city that he is already transforming, and to have the privilege of joining him in that. I don't know what your purpose in life is, to be honest, but I do know it's probably not just this. The main purpose isn't Sundays, it's not missional communities, it's not teams. We think they're helpful, but God creates us for so much more. If we're always being around this place and around missional communities and serving in teams, I'm not sure we're fully being the church that God called us to be. We're not being that royal priesthood, chosen people. We miss out if we don't fully engage with all God is doing around us. What would it look like if you chose to pursue the things that you know he has given you to pursue? Things that you've maybe pushed down or not made time for, but things which are of God, things which you know you can serve others. Being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, doing the things that he did. I had the privilege of spending some time with some church leaders this past week, and one guy leads a church plant in Denmark, which is about 6 or 7 years old. And it started just from a missional community that they decided they were growing quite big, and they thought it would be helpful to meet all together on a Sunday to share stories of what God's doing, to worship him, to learn together. And after about 3 or 4 years of doing that, they realized that all their energy and all their time was going into Sundays. And they loved it. They loved the time together. They loved the collective expression of God's people. But they decided to stop Sundays for a time, just for a few months, so that they could refocus on being present and on proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And this pastor said he wouldn't recommend it, doing that. And I'm not suggesting we do that. But it's just interesting, I find, to think how much of our time and energy do we put into gathering together? Don't stop that. But is it at the expense of actually sharing the good news of Jesus, of loving our families and our friends and our colleagues really well? Do we miss that out because we spend too much time doing the church thing or doing the right thing? And so as we go around tables in a few moments, you'll have a chance to speak to a whole bunch of different people, hopefully. And just remember, I'd encourage you that these are, first of all, chosen people. They are sons and daughters of the King. They are loved by God. And you'll get to hear some stories of what God has done through them, of how they have used their gifts and served the purpose God has given them in local context, in missional communities, in teams. And you might want to get involved in what they're doing. So this is about being encouraged, hopefully. It's about building faith. We want to tell more stories about what God is doing across this city as we go from this place. So when we gather, we can build faith, we can encourage one another. We can hear all that God is doing, not just the things that we know about in our immediate context. And it's also about being connected to one another, about living out the purposes of God as a family together. Let me pray for us just now. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are above all things. You are beyond our understanding, and you are so full of grace and truth and love. Thank you so much for your great love for us, that we can know that we are your masterpiece. We are a chosen people, your special possession. Thank you, Father, that we can call you Father, that your love, that great love, drives out all fear, and that it means we can love others and be who you created us to be. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would, even in this moment, just gently awaken dreams and passions, things which we know are of the heart of God, things which we've maybe ignored or said, that's not for me, But if we're really honest, we know her from you. Would you remind us of those things? Help us to serve you. Help us to know that our identity is secure as children of God. And teach us to love one another as you love us. Amen.